Welcome to Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news, trends, and hottest topics that focus on advances in cybersecurity and cyber industry economics. Our expert yet down-to-earth hosts make cybersecurity straightforward. They ask the tough questions and make this challenging topic something that everyone can understand. Our candid approach lets guests open up on topics we would all like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at newcyberfrontier.com. That's www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join today's host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. On today we have Jules Hokafer, and she is the CEO of Revolution Cyber, Juris Doctorate, and several board positions that she holds previous and current that we'll talk about. But Jules, welcome today. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to this show because Jules has this unique kind of balance of things that we always hear the industry needs right now. And that is, she's a psychologist, behavioral psychologist, and is kind of combining that with innovation and in the cybersecurity realm and user behaviors and things, and just a wealth of knowledge in that area. But Jules, can you give us your background, how you got to where you're at, kind of, and what makes you tick and who you are?
Great. Thanks so much. I'm excited to be here. So my name is Jules. I'm not a traditional cybersecurity expert. I found my way into the industry by falling on hard times maybe 5 years ago. And I started in sales. And one of the things that's most interesting about sales is it helps you really understand what drives people, one, to purchase, often to take your call despite not wanting to talk to you. And then third, typically how to make people trust you. And so I've had a background in sales for at least 18 years. And prior to that, I had 2 degrees in communications and media studies, my bachelor's and my master's, and then I went off and got a law degree. So back in 2014, I found an opportunity to launch a new security team and product line for a small MSSP out of Ashburn, Virginia. Took the job and found great success in just listening to people, which is really underrated in our space, but then also applying some of the principles that I learned in both media, watching politics, and then also in law school. Law school taught me how to build a case, how to tell a story, and then how to help people to make quick decisions based on limited facts. And so all of this is so relevant to the training space today, and that's why I began, actually, the company I've started, Revolution Cyber.
Interesting. And cybersecurity related to sales, I often, and we looked at having a program on the psychology of cyber, so social engineering, at a university I worked at. And one of the books we looked at was it was called The Art of Making People Say Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was basically looking at, we have to know what makes people tick, because social engineering is using that or leveraging that. And the security against social engineering is kind of the opposite of that. How do we stop people? But either way, we have to know how that making people tick things works.
Yes. And I think, you know, there are some of the words that we use in security that are phrased or framed as being bad things that are really normal in other parts of our consciousness. So for instance, social engineering is really utilizing, you know, information you know about somebody in order to have them take an action or to provide access perhaps to something that they maybe shouldn't have, they shouldn't or wouldn't if they knew better. We actually call that marketing. Marketing companies do that on a regular basis. We give our information to Google. You know, we sign up for one app. We sign up for one thing, and they use that data for another thing. And then they leverage, basically, our view of the world is all based on what they think they know about us. And so that's all called marketing. And we approve it on the marketing side when it's consumer-based. But when we get into the office, we call it social engineering, and it's somehow different and bad. So I think some of that needs to be reframed so we can start to understand what kinds of things, you know, when you think about social engineering, is what kinds of things are people more prone to responding to that they typically shouldn't? Or what are some things that perhaps we want to, quote unquote, engineer in the minds of users so that they're aware of what the risk is versus what they think the reward is? And I think we need to have more people having those conversations rather than discussing social engineering, because I think we immediately make people not trust us.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let's take a break here from our sponsor. We'll be right back. I want to talk some more about this.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today with Jules Okafor. And before the break, we were talking about social engineering and marketing in that relation. And I think you hit the nail right on the head when you said that people in the cybersecurity industry view social engineering in an entirely negative connotation. Like it should never be done. Our whole job in life is to protect against it. But yet in other walks of life, we consider this normal. And I would say in general, the traditional, we'll say people who have been in cybersecurity for many years, that type of personality type that has been there and has a lot of vast experience, in many cases, and I hear them talking about this all the time, they view marketing as bad. So they are disengaging not just from social engineering of cybersecurity and their data, but they don't like marketing either. They don't like commercials. They don't like it's like a personality type that is in revolt against somebody influencing somebody else.
Agreed. And it's because we started out with this military perspective on things. All of that is not to be trusted. It's more propaganda than, you know, just normal ways by which to communicate. I think when you think about an audience or just think about employees across the company, all of them are very different. They all have different ways by which they like to be communicated with. That's more about persuasion than anything. I don't consider it propaganda. Mm-hmm. And you can do it with a purpose, but still, as long as you're keeping that user or employee in mind and really considering their interests, it isn't as bad as we'd like to think. So the idea of social engineering, it strikes me as something, one area where we can really start to reframe it, and we might be able to get employees or consumers or customers to actually buy into what we're trying to teach them, which is pay attention to people who are using information about you in order to perhaps gain access or have you take an action that you would not agree to. It's just about paying attention. It's not about people persuading you as bad. It's what are they persuading you to do? And do you agree? Right.
So, but it's about being aware of that.
Yes.
And I would say that even going a step further, that personality oftentimes, and I would say some of my most brilliant cybersecurity practitioners have been autistic or Asperger's in some slight amount. And that personality revolts against anybody influencing them in any way. It's like a violatory feeling. And it goes in, it's like that has been the basis of what training, what intrinsic knowledge is out there about Social Security is from that direction, versus someone like yourself that's marketing and says, let's find the good balance. So if we took that approach, what is the good balance? How could we start reframing this?
So we like to call it, so our perspective, so the perspective that I take when I'm thinking about this kind of topic is, I believe the new cyber frontier is the human mind. And I believe that so profoundly, because it's the way in which, as a security industry, we've almost failed ourselves. Mm-hmm. And here's what, we don't operate with empathy. Right? We don't operate by putting ourselves in the situation of the person who we're trying to train. We kind of think that they should see the world the way we do. There was an interesting story on LinkedIn where a gentleman said he took his daughter, security expert, took his daughter to the emergency room. She was sick. The woman at the desk had a full emergency room. She's trying to get into a computer. She's talking to the IT team. She can't get in. The IT team is now, she's on speaker reading. He's reading the password to the computer on the phone to mm-hmm. her so that she can get into the computer. Now, mind you, his daughter was really, really sick. And the comment he made online was, I cannot believe she didn't consider security before having him read the password out loud in the ER. Now, you can imagine there may be people who are pregnant, babies are coming, there's blood all over the place, people are crying, parents are nervous. Her first intention is not to secure the computer, it's to make sure she's not responsible for a life and death situation, right? And uh-huh. not being able to access the data she needs in the moment. So when you take an empathetic approach, you say to yourself, what are things that we could do so that in that moment, we can embed security into her thinking? Or how can we make it so that the controls are in place so that if she's in that situation, she's not required to make that decision. There's another way by which we can actually help her. And instead, the comment was, she was kind of stupid for having repeated the password out loud. And I could only imagine how she must have felt, regardless of how much training she's getting, in the back end. So I think we just have to infuse empathy and really start to say, as security people, if we want her to do her job better, what training, what does she need to be made aware of, and what technology do we deploy so she's not put in that situation again?
Interesting. So that is a very interesting, and I've heard many times, having worked with people in security at hospitals, that, our people are looking at life and death. They could care less about their computer system until they're in trouble for something bad happening. So the balance there from a technology standpoint might not exist, is what I'm hearing, listening to you talk about this.
Yeah.
But the human aspect still needs to persist and have a way forward. So recommendations, yes. What's your thoughts on that type of situation?
My recommendation first is, we have to assume that this will happen in the normal course of business. This is what nurses in the ER, doctors in the ER face on a daily basis. How we need to do better about learning what that environment looks like. Mm-hmm. Two, training needs to be simulated to reflect the environment in which people are learning the information. So for instance, one of the biggest gaps in our training is, we ask them to take it on a time that is laid back. It's not around other things. They're not as busy as they typically are. Mm-hmm. So they're not facing the factors that they would face when they're making the decision. The training for it to be effective needs to be in a way that they can recall it when they're placed back in the same situation. So yeah. We've got to make the training relatable. And then thirdly, we've got to, like you mentioned, we've got to act like these are humans. We've got to speak to them like humans. Mm-hmm. Short, digestible training that is in the language they're used to, so we can use healthcare language and healthcare situations. And then we also have to make it engaging. It's got to be something that catches their attention so that they want to retain the information. There is a balance we can strike, but it's got to start with us. We've got to stop putting the requirement on them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And I think a lot of cybersecurity practitioners, having come from the military, they do set up those environments, those training under duress, to get people to think about that at the same, like you just said. So it's hard to do that, though, other than in a military environment. To have that environment happening in a hospital would definitely be a challenge, I'm thinking.
You're right. The DoD has spent a tremendous amount of money in XR, AR, VR in order to recreate the environments in which soldiers will be fighting before mm-hmm. they actually get to the warfront, right? But if you think about a healthcare professional, they're facing war every day too, right? They're battling all the different priorities that they have to face in their job. Why not leverage XR, VR, AR to do similar environments? Mm-hmm. Why not have, you know, the tabletops that we do for organizations? Why not have a scenario set up like that for nurses, doctors, and other professionals at a time that maybe isn't, you know, it, when they're on the job, but maybe we can have them take time out to actually do some of this training that's real, it's live, and it's in person. And I would say after this particular situation we're in passes. But where the trend is going, and this is what my company's focusing on, is we're creating virtual reality environments that focus on cybersecurity scenarios, like I've mentioned. We have to get there because we don't have the time to train up and get people to understand in their job because their job requires so much. We need to quickly recreate the environment and then put them into it and then start to effectively deliver training.
Interesting. I like that approach. We got to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back in a minute.
Security Services are your cybersecurity experts with decades of experience providing professional training services for our clients in various industries. We offer professional training and certification in areas of cybersecurity, safety, health, and environmental services at our academy. Our in-person and online training provides a collaborative environment where students can interact directly with instructors through live chats or in private classrooms. Visit MurraySecurityServices.com for more information.
Welcome back to New Cyber Frontier. On today with Jules Okafer. And Jules, you, before the break, you were talking about putting the duress environment. And I wasn't as familiar with the acronyms that you said, XR, DR. Explain those just in case anybody else wasn't listening to what you mean with that.
Sure. So XR is extended reality. AR is augmented reality. And VR is virtual reality. So if anyone's familiar with the Oculus, well, the company Oculus, actually, that Facebook just purchased, the idea is putting people, it's glasses, but essentially it's recreating an entire real-life scenario that is virtual, and it's not real. It's designed to make you look, feel, you can almost taste how an environment is if you were actually sitting in it in person.
Okay. Interesting as to that, and that meets, you know, like we said, military or a hospital. How does that relate to people not in duress in their job? People just receiving email that might get links in it, and they click because, you know, there's a message on there that sounds like their kid's in danger or something, or, you know, people are triggered to inadvertently react with reflexive actions. How do you propose, is there a difference there that you see that might be effective?
Yeah, so the biggest issue in security awareness today is phishing. And it's such a win for hackers that they deploy it, you know, without even having to think about it. They just kind of set it and forget it. So what we're finding is the remote workforce, like everyone going home to work remotely, has created significantly more attack vectors for organizations. And so they can't control a lot of the ways in which email come in outside of the bounds, many companies. So what's happening is what we propose typically is you want to start to understand who clicks. Like, so if you're focusing on phishing and repeat clickers, you want to understand who's clicking and why they're clicking. So in our practice, what we do is we will designate different categories of motivations. What's the human motivation behind why this person continues to click on links? What you want to do separate from that is then you want to provide just-in-time training. So when they click on the link, you want to have training that's customized towards this kind of motivation that speaks directly to them, where they can see themselves in it, that then specifically tells them what they should do next. And it also provides them either rewards for not doing the activity or consequences for having done it. There are many corrective action programs we're seeing coming out of organizations. But finally, what you want to do is, if you're finding that you cannot stop the clicking, you have to become more and more dedicated and targeted in the kind of training you're giving. So we'll typically see broad global workforce training. Then we go into the different motivation groups. If you still find that person is clicking, you then need to have more personal directed on-site training, one-to-one with somebody. Where virtual reality helps is that you would then put that person into a virtual reality environment designed to help them see, with regard to their motivation, why they should or shouldn't click and what the impact is of their decision. A lot of times people don't know how their action connects back to the risk for the organization. Some people need that level of dedicated information in order to stop taking an action that they're knowingly doing, or they're doing because they're not aware. The idea is to filter out as much of the awareness as possible, give them as much training as possible, and then go targeting behavior towards the motivation. And then seeing if they stop. If they don't stop, it's likely you won't be able to get them to stop. And that's another conversation altogether.
Yeah, the interesting thing there is that the engagement, I mean, if you're at a company and you're required to take this training because your CEO has paid for this training or your IT department, and everybody in the company is expected to go through it and get a certificate that says they've done it. That's one thing. You know, we can make our employees go through this, put them in reflexive situations and everything. But oftentimes these are done by people who, you know, are just citizens. You know, how do we get the general knowledge out to the people who will say reflexively avoid cybersecurity?
Yes. We have a branding issue with regard to cybersecurity that makes it so that many of us act as gatekeepers, assuming that people aren't smart enough to kind of understand the basic fundamentals. And so what we do is we apply security in the context of these very formal structures. So in the work environment, we talk about security as it relates to the things that we security people love, IT. We talk about it in the form of technology. But really, cybersecurity is so critical now that as we're talking about this coronavirus and people going home, the idea of personal security, the idea of data privacy, those conversations are very much of interest to cybersecurity professionals. I was talking to my mother the other day and talking about the fact that she feels overwhelmed a lot by this idea of scammers and hackers, and she's received a few calls. She's always said, like, it would be great if I could have something simple that would just give me like a baseline understanding of what it is, mm-hmm. that didn't require a high technical knowledge of computers, but that she wouldn't be sitting at a computer. She could log in and really just, you know, for a few minutes, just kind of see what is it about? What is it? And what are some things that she could take as tips that would be helpful? So yeah. One of the things we're doing is building an app designed, targeted for consumers to understand cybersecurity at a basic, simple level. And we're doing it at the, you know, elementary school, middle school level, but it can be applied to adults too. We're talking to everybody at a very simple level and allowing them to kind of gain an understanding over time. The more interested, the more you can mature your understanding, but we need the society to understand how important cybersecurity is. We need to stop relegating it to a select few.
And do you think that the general population is ready to start engaging with that conversation?
Not in the way we're discussing it now, but I think everyone today is concerned about the coronavirus scams. I think everyone today is concerned about how much data that they're giving to applications, or hearing that Facebook has provided their information to a third party. I think the general population wants to gain control of their information. And so we've got to talk about the cybersecurity aspects that directly interest them, or that allow them to regain some of the control that we're losing and giving up to some of the really big companies.
Yeah.
So if we can keep it to the fundamental topics that are of general interest, like, you know, who's trying to take my information? How could they take it? What can I do? That's a basic way to start cybersecurity conversations. It just needs to be a conversation.
Yeah. So, and this is from some research I had done a couple of years ago. I've taken the approach, and I know things are changing. It's why I keep revisiting and listening to other people's opinion. But it's been kind of my experience that there's really no consumer market in cybersecurity. Engaging a consumer or a person to get them to act or participate or even read cybersecurity topics doesn't happen. And this is from, it was back in 2014 now, I think, I did some market research. I had somebody promoting my cybersecurity topics, and they weren't getting any impact. So they did a blind test to try and figure out why. And they sent cybersecurity links, my topics and others, out with other known topics in a poll with known active users and placebos. We got 1/10 the click rate of the placebo. We're talking the link that nobody could tell what it was. Got 10 times the amount of clicks that cybersecurity topics got. When people were pressed for why, there was two most common answers. One, well, I see cybersecurity and I think it's somebody that's smart that's trying to attack me. Or two, I am reminded when I see cybersecurity, I'm not supposed to click of my training, and I don't click on it because I'm not supposed to click on things I don't know. There was an active psychological aversion to the topic.
Yeah, and that's why I think what I'm saying is it's got to be, one, if we know that cybersecurity makes it so people's walls go up or they're not trusting, we've got to call it something else. But I think, like, personal security, everybody understands. Physical security, everyone's got, like, ADP and, like, Nest and Ring. Those are security technologies, but they're designed, right? It's all about the design. They're designed in a way to make people become drawn in. Mm-hmm. We talk about cybersecurity in a way, like you said, that really leaves people out. And maybe we need to talk about there's a lot of conversation around privacy. There's a lot of conversation around like my mom is always talking about computer security, right? She's not going to talk about or data protection. Mm-hmm. But I think we've got to find words that are more attractive and more consumer friendly. There's a language consumers are used to that we can't use the way we typically talk about traditional security. We just can't. Yeah, so I think we've got to combine those two things, and we've got to be comfortable with marketing in cybersecurity and going to the experts to figure out the keywords that would work.
Yeah.
The marketers already know that because they're already doing that today.
Yeah, and I think that's why we need people like you especially in that skill set that brings that balance. It's something that we've ignored until the last couple of years with some people's research and into the psychology of it and exactly what you're doing. So I applaud you for being that voice and taking that step. As a practitioner, been in the industry for a long time, for me, it's been, how can we get more diversity? How can we get people to not just engage, but to have interest in it? So a lot of that is, like what we do here is we're trying to make cybersecurity a business topic. How do we make money off of it? What's the art of the possible rather than gloom and doom and everybody's getting attacked and violated? How can we now fix some of these problems? And I think you have a great voice in that fixing solution in an area that's kind of rare. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I mean, we need to talk about that diversity aspect. It's critical to us being able to say to ourselves, I would say a lot of the fight in the cybersecurity space is lost in the people and the process. The technology is the technology enables people process. And I think we so often focus on technology and how smart we are with building these products. We forget that a lot of what the businesses that have been around for hundreds of years have put together is designed to actually make us less successful. So silos, right? And the way in which business units are developed, they're all separate, all with a different managing structure. They all have their ways by which they interact that are not. And although connection creates risk, it also reduces the ability to respond quickly. And so we need smart people, yes, but we also need people who think about convenience or people who don't like to think too much mm-hmm. or people who perhaps have a different perspective or background. So my background is a unique mix of law, sales, media, marketing, even politics. And all of those things can be applied to cybersecurity, but we keep saying people have to look like me and talk like me and think like me. And unfortunately, we're not solving our threats today. So we need to do something different. I think diversity of mind experience, race, gender, all those things will be important. And I don't know that I know the answer, but I do know we need to get more people in who are different and think cognitively they're different. Yeah. We need those people in our industry.
Yeah, I think just listening to you, a start that I would throw out there is, you know, people, process, technology. Our technology is implementing our processes and our business controls for the most part. We need technology that implements the people side of things, and maybe that's where the focus needs to change, is the technology supports the people side more than the process side.
Exactly. And one of the courses I'm looking to take now at Stanford is actually on Mastering Design Thinking. I think that we need to redesign, just in cybersecurity, the way in which we even approach problems. I think we need to start with the people part and allow technology to help solve the problem once we've done that successfully. But I feel like right now we're so focused on getting technology out first from vendors. We're not focused on the people, and we're forcing people to actually deal with bad technology. And we've got to change that. So I want to change my thinking and figure out how are the innovators thinking about this, and maybe as I stay in the industry, I might become, you know, one of the people I'm talking about, and I want to make sure I'm not, and keep my thinking new and fresh and exciting.
Yeah, and I think reaching out to the companies on that, it's start looking at technology that supports the people side instead of just paying for technology that supports your process and your business operations. Yeah. Because we all know that people are key to running a good organization, but yet we forget that when we're buying new technology. We only want it to make our bottom line more efficient and more effective. So the other side needs to be looked at as well. That was what I would put out there.
Got it. And I think we need to start talking about productivity. I think we need to go back to, you know, is security technology making our people more productive? I think the responsibility of any technology should be greater productivity, not less. Yeah. And security for security's sake isn't enough anymore. Because humans are smart enough to figure out a way around everything. So if we really start to think through, okay, we want to make sure our people are faster, quicker, that they are communicating more effectively, and we make that a requirement of a security product, we might actually be getting things done. I think we're actually enabling more and more people to seek out answers not in the security department, and I think we lose people that way. So that when we then say, I need you to do me this favor, which is what we should be asking with regard to the training, they're like, no. And they're automatically completing it, but then they forget it as soon as they hear it, because they find it, you know, a negative thing as opposed to something that actually helps them meet their own personal requirements and demands.
Yeah. Well, I think we could have this conversation all day, but we're getting kind of to the end of our time here. And I wanted to give you the opportunity, Jules, as we close here, to give a shout out for what your products are, what you're doing, any customers that you might want to have look for you, and how they can get a hold of you.
Sure. So my company, Revolution Cyber, we are a design firm. We work with organizations to build global programs, mid-sized and larger. We build programs that are culturally sensitive, that are user experience enabled. So we start with the user in mind, and we design them with bold marketing thinking in addition to metrics-driven results. Part of what we like to talk about with our customers is this idea of a human blueprint. So how do we help you to capture more of the mind of your users? How do we keep you at top of mind as users are performing the job on a daily basis? And we will design an awareness program related to security, compliance, or privacy to meet that request. We also build proprietary products alongside our clients. So some really big organizations are asking us to build out specific phishing solutions. So we'll sit down with the product management team in order to build out the human risk element, and also design where we could add more engaging, interactive elements for the use of the security team in addition to the C-suite. So I am available via revolutioncyber.com or online at RevCyber on Twitter, and then also at Jules Management. Either way, feel free to reach out to me. I love to solve big problems, and so that's all I'm looking for, is what's the next big problem as it relates to the human mind and cybersecurity.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Jules. It's definitely been a pleasure to speak with you, and we'll have to have you back on sometime.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to New Cyber Frontier. Remember to follow or like our post and circulate each new show to your networks. We keep you informed, bring you the latest news, explore new trends, and find the hottest topics. With New Cyber Frontier, you don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert. Just get plugged in. We encourage you to get involved. Tell us what topics interest you and join our mailing lists. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. That's newcyberfrontier.com. Check out our previous interviews and please let us know if there are any topics that you would like to hear discussed. See you next time on New Cyber Frontier.